Now we are focusing on an issue that continues to be heavily weighed on families across South Sudan, the disappearance of loved ones. Now, the International Committee of the Red Cross reports that more than 6,000 people are currently registered as missing in the country. And the numbers keep raising, of course. And each year on August 30th, the International Day of the Disappeared, the world faces on honor those who are missing and to acknowledge the pain their families live with every day. Now, to help us understand and talk about this, the scale of the problem in South Sudan, the challenges in tracking missing persons, and also the kind of support available to the families, we are joined by Dolphin Barmdin, if I pronounce the name right, and of course, the deputy coordinator in charge of protection of family links with the ICRC in South Sudan. Good morning, Dolphin, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, and also good morning to all the listeners, of course.
Shukran, marhab bik, sabah al khair.
Sabah al noor,
tamam, alhamdulillah. Let's go now, Dolphin, can you just describe the general situation of disappearance in South Sudan and how serious the problem has become?
Okay, thank you very much for the first question. Maybe it's good to start to give a bit of an overview of some figures. So that's always good to have a bit of an overall idea. So us as the International Committee of the Red Cross, of course, we work very closely together with the South Sudanese Red Cross. And if we start looking at our figures, let's say that from the independence of South Sudan in 2011 up to today, we have approximately 12,000 people who have approached us looking for their loved ones, for a missing relative. So we mainly focus on people who go missing linked to conflict, other situations of violence, migration, or natural disaster. And natural disaster, of course, in South Sudan is mainly then flooding, for example. Out of these 12,000 people who approached us at some point, let's say a little bit less than half of the cases we were able to solve. They got an answer.
For their questions.
On their questions. The whereabouts of this person, the missing persons, were revealed. So it's cleared for the family what happened to them. Luckily, some of them were alive. Unfortunately, for some of them, that was not the case. But at least they got answers. But that still means that you have about 6,000 people for who we're still looking. And every year you have, let's say, always a few hundred of new people who approach us with new cases. We open them and we start searching for them. And then, luckily, each year we also find solutions. We find answers for other cases. So there are always solutions, answers to some of the cases equally, almost equally. So this figure of 6,000, let's say, pending active cases, it stays more or less the same, with, of course, a little bit of a different dynamic sometimes. In the first few years, many of the people who approached us, it was cases, people who went missing linked to the events in 2013, 2016. As you all know, as South Sudanese, you know much better than me. And that was really the bulk of all the people who approached us. Recently, things sometimes change a little bit because, of course, you also have the conflict in neighboring Sudan.
Yes.
And some of the South Sudanese people return, but they're still looking for their loved ones back in Sudan. Or the Sudanese refugees also come to South Sudan and seek refuge here and also are looking for their relatives on the other side. So that is a new component, let's say. And then also recent displacements mean also that people who recently have lost contact with their relatives and who fear that the person might be missing come to us as well, come to the SSRC, the South Sudan Red Cross, of course.
And it seems and looks quite challenging. We know with the accumulation of the reports and also people are coming and asking for their loved ones, the missing ones. How can you express that? How challenging, how difficult is it to tackle and go about all this?
Okay. Oh, there are a multitude of challenges we face. Let's start with the beginning. First of all, it's a very painful experience for the person who comes to us. So we sit with them and we listen to their story. And it can be quite difficult for them to tell the story because they know this person is missing and they don't know if ever they will get an answer. Then it all depends also a little bit on how much information this person still has, how much details do they still remember, how clear the case is. The vaguer it is, the more difficult it can become for us or for the volunteers from the South Sudan Red Cross to really search for this missing person. If there are maybe a little bit more details, etc., it can be better, of course, to start the search process. Then, as such, of course, we're in South Sudan. So in South Sudan, we have certain challenges when it comes to access. As you know, we're now in full rainy season. There are areas which are not accessible for us, even for volunteers in the field. It has become a little bit difficult. And then sometimes it's also a little bit linked to a security situation, of course, which depends on the areas, depends on the time, which doesn't make it easier. Then another issue is also mobility. In South Sudan, and the same actually also in the neighboring countries, people are extremely mobile. It means an event happens and people move to various locations. And maybe first they move to one location, but then they move on to other locations, etc., etc. So it's not always that easy to have a clear pattern or where we should start the search. So that's just already in a nutshell some of the challenges. And then lastly, also, you have a little bit of the challenge of connectivity, of network, telephone network. Because one of the activities we try to do a little bit as a prevention for that people go missing is we try to offer as often as possible on various sites of this people being displaced, refugee camps, etc., etc., we try to offer phone call sessions because we know often people don't have the money to have airtime, credit, they lost maybe their phone. So these free phone call services we offer is also to give them the chance to try to connect again with the person they're actually having some doubts about. They're not sure where they are now. And so this helps already a little bit as I would almost say a preventive measure of a person going missing. But then you have the challenge of network.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can offer your free phone call services, but if the network doesn't really allow it's, you, then it becomes really difficult.
It becomes really very, very difficult. And now, what are the biggest challenges the ICRC facing in tracing and reunifying missing persons with their families in South Sudan, especially given the continuing insecurity and limited access? You already mentioned some of them, but I would love you to get more in deeper, you know, about these kind of challenges. You already mentioned the insecurity in some places, the issue of the networking, all this stuff. But what are the big challenges that the ICRC is really facing?
Another big challenge, I would say, and that's not just in South Sudan, is, for example, the fact that you start and you don't know when it's going to end. And that's very difficult for the families to live with it. And it's sometimes also frustrating for our teams because, of course, at the end of the day, everybody hopes that one day we can give them the answer. And the families, of course, are eagerly waiting for an answer one day. And at some point, no matter what the answer is, whether it's positive or negative, living in limbo, living with this agony of uncertainty, that's also very challenging because we try to support them, we try to assist them. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Exactly. So that's another additional challenge
on top of that. And the ICRC says they, you're receiving hundreds of calls and messages weekly from families. How is this demand being managed in South Sudan? And are resources enough to handle all these issues?
Very good question as well. Okay, we have to be very honest. Of course, we work so closely together with the South Sudanese Red Cross that, okay, we have our delegation here in Juba, the ICRC, and then we have sub-sites like in Wau, in Malakal, in Yei, Leer, Lankin, etc. So people can call us there or people can come to the office there. But it is the same for the, I think it's 21 SSRC branches all over the country. So that's already a wide network of people all over the country working or for the South Sudan Red Cross or for the ICRC who are willing to answer the calls or receive visitors. So we manage to receive people. I think that's the easy part. Then answering or being able to always support appropriately, that can be sometimes the challenging part.
Mm-hmm. Looking beyond tracing, what kind of social or community support is offered to help the COP?
Thank you very much. Again, a very good question. So in the beginning, let's say in South Sudan, we were very much focused on, let's say, the search, the tracing. But then a few years ago, we also thought like, okay, now we have to really go to the families of a missing person and ask them, like, what are their needs? So we did this family needs assessment a few years ago, and we asked a bit more than 180 families all over South Sudan in all the regions, in all the states, like what were their main concerns, their needs, how they thought we could be able to help them. And then the first thing they all answered was like, we just want answers. We just want to know what happened to our loved ones. But then the second thing they often brought up was psychosocial problems like anxiety, depression, nightmares, etc. And then often the third priority concern they brought up was like, of course, economic problems, because quite often it is actually the breadwinner, the ones who brings in, you know, the salary, the income, who went missing, which meant that if all of a sudden that person isn't there, also the family has to find another coping mechanism, and that can be very tough. So that's when we started to engage in mental health and psychosocial support, so MHPSS, support to small groups of families. Mm. And we started first in Juba, then we went to Wau, to Malakal last year. And this year we focused a lot on Yei. So it's about, let's say, 20 families who gather. And they have several sessions with a psychologist, and they talk about their anxiety, their problems, their mental state. And our psychologists, they try to just give them the tools to become a bit stronger, to know how to cope with this loss and to still find the strength to continue life. And it often is perceived as actually very positive, because at the end, we always ask the families, like, what was your opinion? What did you think about it? Et cetera, et cetera. And so they all say, like, we really feel empowered now. We feel stronger now. And they always express the urge to continue meeting. Mm-hmm. So even without us, which we think is great. So then we just support them with a little bit of material to have at least tea sessions, as gatherings around tea and coffee. Yeah. It's very popular in South Sudan.
Yeah.
And that's what often the families want, just to stay together, to have this bond of solidarity. And that's also how we support them. And then, of course, when the people also, when the families finished their sessions with the psychologist, there are always several who really also express the willingness to start a small project themselves. And especially if we see that they're really in need, then we try to support them with some economical financial support that at least allows them to maybe start a small business, or could be anything, a barbershop, whatever they want, whatever they feel like they can do.
Mm-hmm. And of looking at the International Day of the Disappeared, observed on 30th August, honors the missing and acknowledges the suffering of their families, as like you mentioned earlier. How did the ICRC mark this day in South Sudan, and what message would you like to share?
Oh, thank you. It's actually the whole Red Cross and Red Crescent movement all over the world, which commemorates that day together with the families of the missing. So here in South Sudan, you had the ICRC together with the SSRC who organized an event. So we had events here in Juba, in Wau, in Malakal, and in Yei, For us, it's always important that the families are put at the center of these events. So often already during the preparations, we ask the families, what would you like to do? What would you like to see? What would you like as an activity for this year? Quite a lot of them, they really appreciate that authorities also are there and stand with them in solidarity. So that's an important part for them. Then they also want to express their own voice. So they often ask to be given a platform where they can bear testimony, where they can tell their stories, which is, of course, often very moving, very touching. And then, for example, it could be cultural dances. This year here in Juba, it was cultural dances. So people from the families from Don Bosco, they did cultural dancing. You had people who sang songs. Often there is a candle ceremony. There are really several gestures, often based on what the families told us that they really appreciate, that we try to organize these events together. And again, as we say, it's really for us, it's the day when those families are the priority.
Yes. And the ICRC is calling for greater visibility and also the international effort. What additional support or partnership are most urgently needed in South Sudan, especially from the authorities?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's first start that, yes, it's absolutely true that we always ask for more visibility. It might be sometimes a phenomenon which is maybe not very well known or not very much talked about, depending on the context, depending on the countries. And so we think it's really important that disappearance as such, right, linked to conflict, migration of or natural disaster, is really recognized, is acknowledged, that we can all talk about it. And sometimes also it starts already with ourselves. I mean, what can we do as a person? And if you're a person living, for example, in a conflict zone and you know you're most likely to move at some point, you can sometimes take already a few preventive measures yourself, trying to inform people around you, your family, that you're about to move. Where are you going? Inform your children that they know very well their own names, the names of the parents, etc. In case they get separated, that it will be easier for us to find their parents back. These small gestures is something that everybody can do. And then moving towards the authorities, we always think that large responsibility, there is really a role for the authorities to talk about this, to acknowledge it, to try to prevent disappearance, etc. Now, here in South Sudan, we're quite lucky because there is the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management, with who we are in dialogue already since years, and who just a few years ago brought up the idea themselves and said, we think we should draft a bill, we should have a law on the missing persons and their families, offering some kind of guidance, support, tracing possibilities themselves, and to have like a mechanism, a structure that can do that here in South Sudan.
Yes.
So they drafted the bill. We just gave the technical support. And it was a South Sudanese legal advisor, legal counsel, who helped them draft a bill. Then there were lots of discussions about it. Lots of other people also, stakeholders, were invited to give their opinion, so to have it as complete as possible. So as I mentioned, the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management drafted a bill on missing persons and their families, hoping that they can be able also to create a mechanism to support the search, support direct support to the families, raising awareness, etc. The bill is somewhere at its final stage on the level of the Ministry of Justice, so we're very grateful for that. So we hope that there will be other steps, because as you know, it has to then go to the Council of Ministers, etc., etc., to be eventually approved. And that might take some time, but that's okay. I mean, the
fact... hopefully it will come out.
Hopefully it will come
inshallah.
Out. And inshallah. and that will make a huge change, I'm sure, for South Sudan. And it's amazing to see that an initiative like this can take place in a country which faces also a lot of other challenges. I mean, and still ministries, authorities can stay positive, and people are really engaged in this topic.
Finally, Dolphine, how does one can get in touch with you or your or department for more support and assistance?
Okay, so a few things. Or you can reach out to the ICRC. We have our delegation here in Juba, in Abarat, but we also have offices in Yei, Malakal, and Wau. Or you can reach out to one of the SSRC branches, or the South Sudan Red Cross branches, in the field all over. And if not, in case you would be too far away, or if you just want to call the hotline numbers, I'll share now with everybody the hotline numbers. So the first two numbers are for the ICRC, and the other two numbers are for the SSRC, so the South Sudan Red Cross, which is basically the same thing. So if you allow me, so I'll share the hotline numbers.
You're welcome.
The first one is 0928-016-027. And then the other number is 0912-180-112. So these are the hotline numbers for the ICRC. And then for the SSRC, it is 0922-821-552-0914-994-755.
Fantastic. That's it. Delphine Bamjin, thank you so much for talking to our listeners. Thanks for coming to our studio, and we wish you all the best.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. It was really a pleasure, and it's always an honor for us to have this opportunity to share a few key messages.
You're always welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Shukran jazilan.
Shukran jazilan. Wa devi jibna lisa tamania wa sita utelatin de giga. And I was having here in the studio the deputy coordinator in charge of the protection of family links with the ICRC in South Sudan. And that's none other than Delphine Bamjin, who have been in my guest here. Thank you so much.